The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, July the 12th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Why Some of Today's Independent Media Leaves Me an Embittered Man. And the time is 9:06 here in London, 9:06 a.m, making that, 4:06 a.m. on the east coast of America and 6 minutes past one on the west coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so today's show title, Why Some of Today's Independent Media Leaves Me an Embittered Man, relates primarily to my reliance upon proven historical conspiracy theories. Whilst I regularly joke about the next projected date of a major disaster being a nothing burger, I remain a prepper, and as such, I keep my small apartment as well stocked as I have room for in order to have as much of what I need should disaster strike. Unfortunately, or rather fortunately, as you don't tend to regret buying home insurance because your house never burnt down, I still feel embittered towards the independent content creators who keep throwing dates at me, which they claim to be the disastrous event that I have been awaiting. Even though I have prepared for scores of such events, for the scores of such dates they have told me to prepare for that have never happened, I know I will continue to do so, as I believe that at some point in the not too distant future, a cataclysmic event will not just impact me, but maybe you as well. And that is why I feel embittered, because in my opinion, there are many so-called content creators out there whose business model is based upon my and your fear, a shared fear that they prey upon in order to gain clicks or even better, some of our hard-earned money. So that is the explanation for today's show title. Okay, so here's what I found of interest in the news since last week's show. So first up, I heard about this, I think originally they were talking about it in America. Just a little drink of water here, folks. It's 82 degrees Fahrenheit at the moment in my apartment, so it's quite hot. It's going to get hotter throughout the day. About taxing people's cryptocurrency, okay? Doesn't bother me. I pay my taxes every year. I've looked into crypto, but it's so complicated. You know, set up this wallet and do this, that, and the other. And I just look at it and I'm like, no, I can't do that. But the British government are going to launch what they're calling the Crypto Asset Reporting Framework, which they plan to take effect from January next year. And people who hold cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin, for example, well, cryptocurrency full stop, there's so many of them out there, but they're going to be fined £300 if they do not provide their personal details to the crypto service providers in order to ensure that they're paying the right amount of tax to the British government. And the other part of this crypto asset reporting framework that they want to bring in from January next year is going to penalise any service provider that doesn't provide accurate details about the transactions and the tax reference numbers. The service providers themselves will face fines too. So the best thing to sort of equate this to is the Online Safety Act. Okay, and the reason I say that is look at Gab and look at BitChute. Okay, so the Online Safety Act or Online Safety Bill, whatever you want to call it, it comes in. And these are two rather large platforms that I was never a big fan of, but I'm not going to digress here, that basically said that we can't serve people in the UK anymore because we can't adapt our business model to comply with the regulations of the Online Safety Act, and thus we're going to get fined. So rather than what most people thought, you know, someone like a Gab, they just say, oh, well, you know, you can fine us, we're just not going to pay it, you know, try getting us, we're over in the States, we're fine, goodbye, we're not interested. They didn't, did they? They got worried and they thought, actually, we've got to comply, and the only way to do it is to withdraw the service. So my point being is that even if your company, if you are in Bitcoin, if they adopt the same approach as something like a Gab or BitChute, I'm getting confused, I keep thinking Bitcoin, then I would imagine they're probably likely to do the same. And the other thing is as well, if you are interested in this sort of the independent media and certain areas within it, there's a chance that you're already being scrutinised. Go back to David Goldberg's final words, Operation... my mind is going really bad today. You know the ones that I mean. Zephyr was one of them. And the other one, Pogo. Was it Pogo and Zephyr? And one of them was to round up the people that they really didn't like and get rid of them. And the other one was to use the comment sections for those people to identify their followers that aren't quite so dangerous but might need to be dealt with in another manner. So if you are one of those people out there that likes to make comments, or even you could be being tracked on certain pages that your government has identified are a source of concern for them on the internet, they may already know about you. And if they do, you can bet your bottom dollar, if you'll pardon the pun, that they'll know about your Bitcoin and stuff like that too. So I would always advise people to comply with the law in as much as they can, because I always use the Al Capone example. And that's even, funny enough, I saw something somewhere that it's actually referred to as the Al Capone example or method or something, as like a saying in law enforcement or in the law judiciary in America. Because I've always said it was an abuse of process to get this guy for tax evasion, because if he pays tax on his illegal earnings, then he's basically admitting that he's made this money illegally. But they did it anyway. But even today, there are people that agree with me that that was an abuse of process, but they still will do it if they can't get people any other way. And so if the only way that they can get you is because you're not paying the correct tax on a Bitcoin that you thought they didn't know about, it's best to kind of get it straight, because that's the sort of thing they'll try and come after you on. Okay, now we know about people who want to become famous, okay? So if you want to set up a band and, you know, or be an actor or an actress or something like that, oh, did I say actress? Am I allowed to do that? Is it supposed to be female actor? Well, my grandmother used to call it noticitis. You know, you wanted to be noticed. You had noticitis. Well, a lot of these people in that field, they do like being identified, don't they? They'll soon say how their privacy is being breached and what have you if they get too many photographers around them. But when they're rising up the ranks to become a megastar, they certainly don't seem to be too bothered about it then. Well, one member of Pink Floyd has been in the news a great deal, Roger Waters, and you know the reasons that he's regularly in the news. And I was wondering if his Pink Floyd counterpart, Dave Gilmour, had, you know, got a little bit annoyed about that, how he's not in the news. So he's managed to get in the news by replacing his garden shed with a bigger one. And as a result, his neighbours are complaining that it's obtrusive to their view, etc., etc. So don't ever accuse Dave Gilmour of not bucking against the system like Roger Waters. Next, police are apparently afraid to stop and search people for suspected cannabis users. Now, this is something that brought to mind something completely different. Where I worked, my last office job, there were signs up that, well, it was actually put out somewhere in the media, the local media, that they were cracking down on people smoking and dropping their cigarette butts because they wanted to clean up the town, all that sort of stuff, you know. And, you know, if an ashtray is provided, it's something I would always use. But then you get people wanting to take those away because that encourages smoking, doesn't it? You know, they want it always, don't they? Anyway, the idea and the way that the support for this law, I mean, I suppose it could be a bylaw, couldn't it? It was fines for dropping cigarette butts. But the way they sold it was all these antisocial groups. So it would be people like cannabis users, groups of youths smoking, causing trouble, throwing their dog ends about of whether it was cigarettes or joints or whatever. But the people that went out to enforce it weren't so keen to get whatever. Do they have a quota? Sometimes they admit they do, sometimes they say they don't. But their job was to go out and issue fines to people who dropped these, you know, tobacco remnants, whatever you want to call it, joints or cigarette ends. But rather than target the people that those behind this crackdown, shall we say, said the crackdown was aimed for, they didn't really want to approach these people. They probably got a little bit worried about their personal safety if they, you know, went up to a group of youths and started issuing fines to them, that they would accept them willingly. So instead, they started hanging around the other side of town where the offices were, because it was far more palatable to them to go up to somebody in a suit who just dropped a cigarette butt and said, "Here's an £80 fine, sir." They felt a lot safer for some reason. So that was exactly what I saw, what I thought, rather, when I heard that a guy called Sir Andy Marsh, who's the head of the College of Policing, has said that officers should act when they smell cannabis on the street, as it is a sign of crime and disorder. So there you go. It's a weird one, this, because I understood cannabis had been decriminalised, and I've got my own reasons for why a government would be happy for people to become cannabis users, things like that. You know, makes them a little bit lethargic and a little less dangerous to the state, doesn't it? But we'll move on to the next story that I have for you. Last week I talked about when studies come out, who finances the studies, and do they demand that the conclusion to the study is part of what they agree to finance it for, i.e. I want X to mean that be a result of global warming. Well, that's what crossed my mind here. Again, I may be right, I may be wrong. But essentially, researchers from the University of Wisconsin in the United States have said that melting glaciers are actually going to result in a great deal more volcanic activity in the future. And Pablo Moreno Yeager, who was part of this study, said glaciers tend to suppress the volume of eruptions from the volcanoes beneath them. But as glaciers retreat due to, guess what, folks, climate change. Our findings suggest these volcanoes go on to erupt more frequently and more explosively. So that was another unsurprising thing coming out for me. They blame what they can where they can, if it suits their agenda. They don't miss a trick. Going back to today's show title, why some of today's independent media leaves me an embittered man. The Daily Mail published an article. I'll give you the headline. Exclusive. Fresh claims emerge that late Queen's cousin Lord Mountbatten abused children at Northern Ireland boys' home, as one says he was trafficked to Royal's Castle. And I was surprised to see this in the Daily Mail, but they've reported on it before because they've got a little, I'll see if I click on it, because it says, and in 2019, a secret dossier compiled by the FBI, and that takes you to a link, on British statesmen during World War II and the Suez Crisis, described King Charles's uncle and valued mentor as a homosexual with a perversion for young boys, which made him an unfit man to direct any sort of military operation. So I'll click on that, see when that article was published. Well, that was 18th of August 2019, Daily Mail. The headline on that one is Lord Mountbatten was a homosexual with a lust for young boys, claimed secret FBI dossier compiled by agents seeking dirt on British statesmen during World War II and the Suez Crisis. Now, I believe Prince William named one of his sons Louis after Mountbatten, Louis Mountbatten. And I don't know if these claims are true or false, but obviously if they are, that would be a very strange idea to name your son after an individual such as this. But the reason I referred it back to the show title is that I hearken back to the days when conspiracy theories were interesting, they had validity to them, they had research backing it up. I first heard about this, I forget where, about the allegations of paedophilia against Lord Mountbatten, in either the late 90s or the early parts of this century. And I was shocked, because I was very young when a newsflash came on. I believe it was a newsflash, it was one of those real, yeah, it was like a Kennedy moment for us, because he was a very senior royal, and he was blown up by the IRA. He was on a boat, and I believe that there was a boy on that boat as well, a 15-year-old, who was also killed. I don't know other people that were killed, but it was shocking that this guy had been blown up by the IRA. So I grew up believing that this was some martyr, he's probably one of the most famous IRA victims of a bombing, put it that way. People talk about the Brighton bomb when they targeted the Conservative government, things like that, but as an individual target, he's probably the highest value target that the IRA ever got. And that was what came to mind when I heard about Mountbatten. But as I say, going back to those conspiracy theories early on, these were the sort of interesting things that you could learn back then, rather than the garbage that garbage tell you, because that's what people who just go out there quoting dates to get clicks and get money are. They are garbage, okay? And know that they're lying to you, when there are other people out there that don't get much, if anything, for what they do. But they make the effort, they take the time, they do the research, and they're prepared to share it with us. That's what makes me annoyed. And when I saw this article, I was like, oh, you know, the Daily Mail are finally reporting something like this. And it was only that I found out that here, they reported it back on the 18th of August 2019 as well. Okay, let's move on to, oh, this is interesting. Lawyer who defended depraved surgeon dubbed France's worst paedophile kills himself weeks after his devil in a white coat client was jailed for raping 298 patients. Now, this guy, that's the Daily Mail headline as well. So the lawyer who killed himself was called Maxime Tessier. And the person who was jailed for raping the 298 patients was Joel Laskurnek. And I think he got just 20 years in prison. But he is 74, so it remains to be seen if he'll see out that sentence. I was surprised, because I am critical of the legal system. I'm critical of people that can go along with restrictions on free speech, stuff like that. And I tend to feel that many of the people in the legal system are just about me, 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 me. And if the price is right, they'll do anything. Well, this guy, certainly, if his suicide was related to his shame for defending this guy. And people say, well, everyone's allowed a defence. Well, that's true. But it depends how that defence is argued. Do you see what I mean? It's my understanding that if you know that your client is guilty of what they've done, then you shouldn't actually be saying they're not guilty. But I remember seeing a programme on George Carman, and there was a book that his son wrote about him as well. I've mentioned it before on this show. And George Carman was a brilliant lawyer, to the extent that he used to represent celebrities that would sue tabloid newspapers for salacious allegations, and he would generally win. So once a tabloid newspaper, they published something and they were pretty sure about it, but they engaged George Carman as their lawyer straight away, so that the person the story was about couldn't get him because he was already retained by the tabloid newspaper. And he won that case. It was one of the few times that the celebrity didn't get a big payout from the newspaper. But for those of you not familiar with the case of Jeremy Thorpe, now Jeremy Thorpe was the Liberal Party leader back in the 1970s, I believe. And he was alleged to have been involved in a relationship. He was married. I believe he might have had children as well. Don't know that much about him. But he was alleged to have had an affair, a homosexual affair, and the person he had the affair was going to newspapers. And the allegation was that he hired a hitman to kill this person. And the hitman botched it, shot a dog instead. It's all very, very strange. But George Carman's son in the book, or in the documentary that I saw, I think the line was, and I'm paraphrasing here, he was watching television with his dad, George Carman, and he turned to him and said, I think I can get him off. So it's like, a statement like that is sort of, my assumption is that Carman knows he's guilty, but he thinks he can get him off. And he ended up taking the case, and the guy got found not guilty. So we don't know, was he guilty, was he not guilty? I'm just reporting to you what I heard. But that to me is wrong. Because if you know a guy's guilty, then by all means defend him. But say, well, you know, he did it because of extenuating circumstances here. It could be anything. It could be completely bizarre sort of stuff. We're going to get onto some of that actually later on. But you don't lie. You represent your client, and you could say he's remorseful. You could give extenuating circumstances. Your job, if you know your client's guilty, is to get him the best deal possible with the court. The shortest sentence, the lowest fine, that sort of thing. But I don't believe it's right to know that they're guilty and plead not guilty. Okay, we got there in the end, didn't we? Right, so let's move on to, talked about on here before, how they don't want people flying. And again, EU officials spoke to the Financial Times on Wednesday, 3 days ago, and apparently staff shortages are affecting air traffic control in Europe, and they reckon that you're going to have the worst summer ever for delays and cancellations this year. So that seems remarkably convenient to me in a world where we're being discouraged from things like air travel. And again, goes back to the thoughts that the World Economic Forum types, should we say, you know, it's far nicer to be able to fly somewhere if we're exclusively allowed to do it. Well, a lot of them are because they do it on private jets. I've never been on a private jet in my life. I don't imagine you have either. But, yeah, that's what came to my mind. And that's what I do here. I report to what comes into my mind when I see an article. Because I'm a very suspicious individual. I may be right, I may be wrong. But that's what I do. Okay, let's move on to... Oh, this was a BBC article. I found this very interesting. UK faces rising and unpredictable threat from Iran, report warns. That is the headline. If you want to stick it into your Google and whatever search engine you use, but something like that with BBC at the front of it is probably going to bring it up as your top result. But this article stems from a report by the Parliament, UK Parliament's Intelligence and Security Committee. So, and it also references in the third paragraph of the article, the report took evidence up to August 2023, does not assess the impact of heightened tensions since the attack on 7th of October that year by Hamas on Israel or the Iran-Israel conflict, but its authors say the findings remain relevant. Well, the committee chair, Lord Beamish, said, Iran poses a wide-ranging, persistent and unpredictable threat to the UK, UK nationals and UK interests. Iran has a high appetite for risk when conducting offensive activity, and its intelligence services are ferociously well-resourced with significant areas of asymmetric strength. The Iranian embassy has rejected the report's findings, which they said were biased and baseless. Well, this kind of, one of these prepper articles, one of these, not a trial balloon article. A trial balloon article is when they float something out there to see what the public reaction is going to be in the comment section. The best example of that is when they talked about getting rid of the bubbles when people were in lockdown over COVID. The bubble in the UK meant that if you were a single person, to prevent you from feeling isolated, you could choose one other household and they could only choose you too. So you couldn't have, oh, well, I'm a single person, I'll be in that household, and another single person be in that household too. It wasn't done like that. But they floated the idea that they were thinking of getting rid of the bubbles in a Daily Mail article. And the response that day were thousands of comments on the day. Absolutely, if this happens, I'm not even going to obey the lockdown. That was the sort of flavour of the comments that were coming back. And then literally, it was either later that day or first thing the following day that another senior government official came out to the Daily Mail. Oh, no, we're not going to do this. Did you know, even Boris Johnson is in a bubble with his wife's mother for childcare issues for their baby at the time. But my suspicious nature led me to believe that, you see, of course, I believe that this was all about getting these vaccines into people. And they wanted to make life as difficult as possible in order to get people to take them. Okay? You can only come out of your home if you take this. I don't believe it's done what they planned it to do. I used to report regularly on the Limish show I did with Malefica Scott. I think the final figures was approaching 500,000 people that are reported being injured by the vaccine, and over 2,000 that were reported to have died after taking the vaccine. That was according to the MHRA, that's our official figures here in the UK, a bit like your NIH in the United States. And as I say, that was my feeling behind it. That was what they were trying to do there. But the backlash, of course, then they see the backlash, they're like, actually, we're not going to push this because we don't want people using this as an excuse to completely breach the lockdown completely. But there's another interesting thing that you could listen to. You should be able to find it. It's pretty common out there. I'm just going to look it up. I hope I still have it. I do. Now, I'm not a big fan of Alex Jones, but he did a documentary, and it came out on April the 3rd, 2021. It was called Emergency Saturday Broadcast, World Shocked by Spa's 2025 to 2028 Document. And that might end up being relevant today, because maybe the COVID thing was, many people alleged, a trial run for something they had planned later down the line. So they could do that, see what didn't work, what areas they needed to review to strengthen, etc. What failed, what worked, etc., etc. But there's a person in there who sounds really creepy. And they say, and I'm sort of paraphrasing it, it's some sort of person in government or in a health department or something. And they're, well, you know, we can't let people out without them, you know, they have to get a vaccine to get out. Otherwise, where's the incentive for them to being let out of their home? And that's why we need to lock them down, so that they have an incentive to get a vaccine. It's like, why do you care if someone gets a vaccine or not? And it's the way that they say it. It sounds really creepy to me. They go, this sort of stuff. Like, they're, it's shocking. But yeah, maybe I misinterpreted it, but it certainly sent a shiver down my spine. Okay, so let's move on to, well, actually, let's go back to this, what I think they're doing here. We've already seen the United States in conflict. They supported Israel in bombing Iran, and then that's apparently all over, 12-day war, something like that. Well, in the UK at the moment, they've got a big problem with pro-Palestinian sentiment, and as a result, they'll say that it was because they spray painted some planes. And again, I've already covered that. It's funny how you think one of your most secure facilities would be a Royal Air Force facility. I wouldn't even, you know, dream of trying to get access to something like that. I'd be worried I was going to be shot or something like that by, you know, soldiers guarding it, things like that. But somehow these people get in, they spray paint planes, and as a result, an organisation that the government doesn't like is able to be banned. Sounds very convenient to me. But the pro-Palestine sentiment is still there amongst a lot of people, and they've reacted to this banning as further evidence that there is a real injustice being done to Palestine, that they are going after their very supporters as well. So sometimes you do something like that, oh, that'll shut them up, but it can actually make it worse. So maybe that has been the case. That's, I don't know. The people that brought it in, they're going to have their finger on the pulse to see what the reaction is to what they've done, and then work out if it was a positive or a negative reaction, or if they'd have been better off not doing it. Now, if they already feel they'd have been better off not doing it, because it's actually strengthened support of Palestine in the UK, then getting some sort of conflict going with Iran could, you know, Iran is a big supporter of Palestine and now we're in conflict with Iran. It could even lead to further restrictions on speech. Oh, you know, if you're seen to show any sympathy with Palestine, then, you know, you're showing sympathy with Iran, and we're at war with Iran, so we can lock you up for sedition or whatever they call it, Regulation 18B, wasn't it? That they locked a lot of people who disagreed with going to war with Germany, the Second World War. They were locked up for the duration of the war. One of them was Captain Archibald Moore Ramsey, who wrote one of the best books, The Nameless War. If you want to learn a lot of history in a very short amount of time, folks, that is the book to look at, believe me. I think it's just under 100 pages, and it'll cover things like the French Revolution in 6 pages. You know, so you can get all of that. And it's very easy to find online, a brilliant book. Well, anyway, that could happen as a result. And also, think about this scenario. Maybe, so you've got two countries and they've got problem with dissent in their country. Well, they could engineer a little war together to give them the opportunity to crush dissenters in their country. I read an RT article earlier in the week, rt.com, and it alleged that there was an attempt in France by a group of politicians there to bring in a law that would make people subject to a prison term if they disagreed with government. That was the overview of it. I'm not sure if it passed or not. That was the way I read it. But if that is true, you can see where they're going now. And they didn't like the pushback they got under COVID. You look at the way that Black Lives Matter protesters were treated compared with people who protested against the lockdown. And you can see that the treatment was completely different. And you even had people saying that certain times of protests were more likely to spread COVID than they've just got absolutely ridiculous, didn't it? So we can see what's going on. And that's ideally what they want. They want to be able to take away anybody that disagrees with their policy because they feel that they're approaching the end game of whatever they have planned for us now. And that is when what they do becomes so overt, so obvious, that they have to quickly get rid of any rabble-rousers who might point out to other people who are not quite aware of what's going on, because then they might point it out to others, and suddenly you have a great big population ready to turn on a very small amount in the grand scheme of things, if you're talking about a whole population compared with government and their departments and all their local areas and stuff like that. The people's going to be bigger than all of them put together, and that's not what they want, because then they lose everything that they've been working towards for hundreds of years. So I still believe all these countries work together, and even in the case of war, I believe that they work together. So, you know, I may be right, I may be wrong. I've said that several times today, but that's the truth. But I believe, I back up what I believe based upon my experiences. And when I look at things like the Ukraine-Russia conflict, and, well, why are they just fighting it World War One trench warfare style when they just keep pouring more and more people into a meat grinder? Well, maybe that's the purpose of the war. They want to kill a load of people of that particular stock, Ukrainian and Russian. Well, that makes more sense to me than this being an actual war. Because if it was an actual war, it would be fought with the sort of methods that wars are fought with these days, you know, with missiles and stuff like that. I mean, the recent Iran-Israel war, America comes in too. America got a huge army. They didn't enter Iran, did they? And that was all about firing missiles at each other. Well, no people on the ground going in and out. So why have they got that happening in Ukraine and Russia, fighting a war in the method that they used to fight over 100 years ago? Well, you have to think and think, well, what could be the other reason? Well, that's the other reason that comes to my mind. Okay, so let's move on to... Ah, yes, Jeff Lynne has not been well. Oh, I've got a little pain in my throat there. Just have a quick drink of water. See if that clears it. Yep, that's better. The Electric Light Orchestra, ELO, that Jeff Lynne founded and he was the leader of, they're on a farewell tour. Now, Jeff Lynne is 77, and they had to cancel a show in Manchester because he was ill. And apparently, he was helped off the stage on a previous show. And I hope he's going to recover. He's some VLO stuff was quite good. A handful of songs that I've got. They're not my favourite, but when they were good, they did some really good tracks. But immediately jumped out at me was the Travelling Wilburys, okay? Because the Travelling Wilburys were brilliant, I thought. They bought two albums out in their time. The first one was called Volume 1, and the second one was called Volume 3, so they obviously had a really good sense of humour. But... The Travelling Wilburys were the first supergroup, okay? They were George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison and Bob Dylan. Now, Roy Orbison passed away after the first album, and he was only in his early 50s, and he was the oldest in the group. And then, of course, George Harrison passed away, and then not so long ago, Tom Petty passed away. So all that's left is Jeff Lynne, who's 77, and Bob Dylan, who was the second oldest after Roy Orbison, who's, I believe, 84. I looked him up the other day. So I wish Jeff Lynne well. So, well, actually, let me say the ELO songs that I do like, because I have. It's one of these artists that I've got the best of album by, and that's kind of enough for me. But I've got a folder here, and I've actually got 10 songs in it. So they are. And the other thing that my real father left my mother when I was 7 years old, but he loved ELO, and he had the albums I remember him having were A New World Record, then Out of the Blue, which fascinated me because it was a double LP, so it was a gatefold, so you opened it up, and I was fascinated by records, and you know, it was brand new when he brought it home from the shop and stuff like that. And then he bought Discovery as well, which again was a gatefold cover, but it just was one album, so one record, not a two record set like Out of the Blue. So I grew up listening to a lot of these songs that he'd play on his little music centre, which is what they had back in the 70s, these long flat things that weren't particularly reliable, especially when he would always buy a make like Fidelity rather than something like Sony to get it cheap. And I remember them chewing all his tapes up and him bemoaning the fact. But fortunately, you get what you pay for, don't you? But anyway, my 10 ELO tracks are in release order, because that's how I saved them. From A New World Record, Telephone Line. From Out of the Blue, I've got Sweet Talking Woman and Mr. Blue Sky. From Discovery, I've got 4 tracks. Shine a Little Love, Confusion, Last Train to London, and Don't Bring Me Down. Then they've got an album called Time, which I've got 2 tracks, Here Is the News and Hold On Tight. And from the album Balance of Power, I've got Calling America. And yeah, so now I might actually give that a listen later if I get to all the shows I've listened to. Give myself something, yeah. Okay, so let's move on, see what else I've got for you. This is an interesting one that I expected to find more in the likes of odditycentral.com. So let's have a quick look at that. Basically, it's a Daily Mail article again. But there's some guy, let's give him his name. He died from Alzheimer's at 58. He was a car wash owner in East Detroit. His name was Darryl Plant Thomas, so Plant sounds like his nickname, because that's in quotation marks, well, you know, the single quotation mark either side, that sounds like his nickname. But he, at his service, he arranged to have a helicopter fly over and drop $5,000 worth in dollar bills. I presume they're dollar bills, because and it caused quite a bit. Well, apparently it didn't turn chaotic. The crowd were calm. There was no fighting. But everybody got a little bit of this cash that was dropped. And quite a nice thing to do, isn't it? So that kind of jumped out at me. And that being said, let's have a quick look at odditycentral.com, because I've not been looking at it. So let me give you some of the... I'm going to go top to bottom. Great site to look at if you get tired of the... I mean, this is independent media like 40 and Times style, because 40 and Times, unfortunately, they just sell their publication. I don't believe if they've got any articles on their site, it's not one that, when I last looked at it, leave me to want to bookmark it in any way. They've got a monthly magazine to sell. Oddity Central haven't. China uses world's largest inflatable balloon to make urban construction cleaner and quieter. Next, the world's longest traffic jam lasted 12 days, stretched for 100 kilometres. Wow, imagine being stuck in that. That was in 2010, and it happened on the China National Highway 110. There you go. And there's a picture of it there, and the amount of lanes. I mean, you just can't compute. Canada's incredible shrinking mill, optical illusion. Café Ost, Sweden's unique cheese-infused coffee. Man forgets wife at gas station, only realises 300 kilometres later. That was in France. Woman with severe face rash claims she hasn't removed makeup in 22 years. This is a woman from China. Football club fined for placing talismans in opponent's locker room. These are superstitious items, which generally are used to bring good fortune, but can also be abused to cause harm and misfortune to others. So that's the first few that I've got for you. Oh, I'll throw this one out, because Jeff Wentz has been talking a lot about AI in the last week. AI-generated band gets over 1 million Spotify listeners in just 2 weeks. And the band are called the Velvet Sundown. They didn't exist 2 weeks ago, but today they boast over 500,000 listeners on Spotify and are getting to put out their third album. There you go. So all you AI people interested in AI, then check that out. And then we've got, I've got a couple left here. How many stories do you see in the mainstream media that are anti-China? Well, the Daily Mail have put out an article with the headline, Omoda 9SHS Plug-in Hybrid Review. We drive it through 9 countries to test its 700-mile range claims. Now, this is a Chinese-built electric vehicle. Well, it's a hybrid, so you put some petrol in, some electric. So it's not a straight EV here. But I found it quite strange, because I looked up and down this article. I can't see that it says that it's an advertising feature. And I remember there being a bit of a backlash about Huawei phones. I'm not sure if you can even get them over here anymore. I haven't bought a new phone in years, but all this about China spying on us, and I think even with the vehicles they were talking about that. So I found it very surprising that they were promoting it, but then I thought, well, it's an EV, but then, well, actually, it's a hybrid. They prefer you in an EV because that's completely electric, but it's not about being electric or petrol for me. It's about them being able to control an electric vehicle in the way that they can't so easily control one that's, you know, operated by petrol, or as you call gas or diesel or whatever in the United States. Maybe they can still control a hybrid because of the electric element. Maybe that can override the petrol gas element. I don't know. I'm not an engineer. But that jumped out at me as to why are they promoting something Chinese when they seem to be anti-Chinese. And finally, surprise, surprise, folks, the BBC have had to sack another presenter for allegations of sexual misconduct. Okay, I mean, it's astonishing, isn't it, how the BBC are, they seem to be able to, must have a really good recruitment process for getting all these people that seem to be so sexually obsessed that they don't know how to behave at work. I mean, have you ever been disciplined at work for doing sexually inappropriate things? I've worked at many companies. I've never had the desire to do something sexually inappropriate at work. But the BBC, it happens all the time. But basically what happened here, which was interesting, is the guy who's had the claims against him, a guy called Greg Wallace, who, you know, I've never really, well, I'm not going to go there, but just take a look at the guy. They filmed, he was host with another guy of a program called MasterChef, which was extremely popular with people. Or I can't understand what pleasure people can get out of watching a program with other people cooking food. I mean, what? I just don't get it, okay? But you might not get why I can sit in front of a program like CSI. I do look away for the gory bits, so I assure you of that. Anyway, they recorded a whole series, and it's like a game show, and some guy wins at the end. And people have gone on to careers out of their performances in MasterChef. Now, they already filmed the whole last series before these allegations surfaced, and I believe it should have been broadcast by now, but because these things have been going on, they've not broadcast the series. So as a result, some of the people that participated as contestants have said that they're going to sue the BBC if it's not broadcast, because they gave up their own time. They had to take time out of work, and also some of them believe it could lead to a future career opportunity that by not broadcasting the show, the BBC may jeopardise. So that was an interesting story for me. And let's then move on to have a look at what's happening in the mainstream media right now. So let's start with AP.com. Oh dear, let's just wait for that to load up. The top story, furore over Epstein files spark clash between Bondi and Bongino at the Justice Department. I'm sure you're well aware of that story. No surprise to me, okay? It goes back to what I referenced with this allegation by RT.com against the French government trying to pass a law that if you disagree with them, they can lock you up. Well, if Trump wants to say the administration, well, actually now, there were no Epstein lists. Well, I'm pretty sure what the Epstein thing was all about. And it wasn't just Epstein. You'll have these sort of things going on all around the world in order to get control of people in positions of power. And this goes back to the formation of the Illuminati in 1776. There are four planks of it, and one of them is to get people in blackmailed, so in positions of power, so they will do your bidding. So this is nothing new. But they don't want this to come out because there are people on it that they don't want you to know about. And it's funny how all the time, the vast majority of the time, when people in the alternative media talk about it, it's Bill Gates, Bill Gates, Bill Gates, but all this stupid nonsense. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people on there that they would never mention in certain venues in the so-called independent media, which is no way independent at all. It's just trying to have us on. But yeah, I think that this is a new tactic. Well, we're now saying there's no list. We're now saying that he just had child porn on his computer, which is, whilst distasteful, he's now dead. There's no one else involved, which begs the question, why is Ghislaine Maxwell in prison then? I thought she was in prison for procuring people for his list. So is she going to be out soon? Is this part of it? I think it'll be interesting to watch how this develops. But okay, let's go over to BBC, let's do their top 10 at the moment. Amanda's going to be disappointed. I'm supposed to call her in 4 minutes. I'm not going to get the show done in that time. Good job I unplugged the phone. Okay, number 10. Heat wave set to peak with 34 Celsius temperatures possible. I think that's the late 90s, I think, in Fahrenheit, which is what I use. Number 9, Donald Trump and the Scots, a not-so-special relationship. Well, he does own a golf club up in Scotland, I'm aware of that. Number 8, the 10-year-old sleeper hit that has more plays than any Taylor Swift song. I did actually click on that earlier, but I never heard about the person who did it. Never heard of them, so can't tell you more about that. Number 7, men charged after women die following care home crash. This was up in the north of England, Newcastle, Sunderland area, I think it happened. Sunderland was where I was at university between the years 1991 to 1994. And, yeah, the police were chasing a vehicle involved in some other incident, and it actually, I believe, crashed into a care home and killed a couple of the residents inside, which is dreadful. Number 6, intense Med-Sea heat wave raises fears for marine life. Number 5, splash and burn and tax time bomb. That's the What the Papers Say article for today. Number 4, Faisal Islam. We are heading for significant tax rises. Number 3, sour taste, Jellycat pulls supply, leaving independent shop owners confused. Don't know what Jellycat is. Number 2, BBC faces dilemma over new series of MasterChef. I just told you about that. And number 1, why cockpit audio deepens the mystery of Air India crash. Skated over that. But actually, it might be at the top of the Daily Mail, which is where we're going to go next. So let's see if that gives us a little more. There's let me see. No, it's not there, but I thought I saw it there. Basically, the latest that they're saying about it is that the engines were turned off shortly after it took off. That was what I heard. I'm scrolling down, and apart from an article on Liam and Noel Gallagher's offspring, which I have no interest in looking at, I'm about a third of the way down the page, and there's nothing about that flight there. So that's what I recall. The latest is that they apparently turned the engines off for some unknown reason. So let's go over to see what's going on in the independent media right now. So we'll start off with rents.com. So I'll scroll down to the headline page. Of course Trump doesn't, this top story, of course Trump doesn't want to release the Epstein files. He was intimately close to Epstein and can't release them. He's in them. Then we've got Kash Patel considering resigning if Pam Bondi keeps her job. Then Bongino reportedly issues shock ultimatum, it's Blondie or me. FBI Deputy Chief Dan Bongino, MIA from work after clash over Epstein files with AG Bondi. And the next few headlines are devoted to that story. So that is the news flavour over at rents.com. If you're interested in it, that's probably the best place to go for a variety of articles on the topic, all in one place. And then we go to halturnerradioshow.com. And the big story this week that people have been talking about as well, I've been listening to Night Shadows radio show this morning, and the previous one from earlier in the week, they were talking about biblical stuff, where I don't agree with their interpretation of the Bible, so I whacked it forward after a few minutes, they were still talking about it, and so I deleted it. But this one, they're talking about things like Bezos from Amazon selling $666 million worth of Amazon stock earlier in the week, and he apparently just offloaded another $108 million of Amazon stock, according to two articles on halturnerradioshow.com. I read a comment by Scorpio on the Mammy's website, I believe it was Scorpio, saying, look, people like that do things like this all the time. They, you know, get out of one venture, get into another, they need a big bit of capital, you know, things like that. So this is all just your fear porn again, which it could well be. We'll just have to see. But again, that was a story that jumped out. For me, of course, let's be honest, it's the $666 million, which, of course, many of you will be aware that the very first Apple computer was sold for $666. And we've got the Build Back Better, which became Big Beautiful Bill, and the B's look remarkably like sixes as well. We know how much the elite seem to love the 666 number and any way that they can refer to it, and we know that 666 is the number of the devil. So what does that tell you about them? Okay, let's go over to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis website, and thank Mark as well. He actually references this show in his website, and he is a listener, and thank you so much, Mark, for that. Try and do something a little bit different here, just go through things that maybe other people haven't touched on in the independent media. But the most important thing is to say, you be the judge. I put the information out there, I'm going to tell you what I think of it, but I may be wrong, you may think differently. But anything that you listen to, anything that you look at, if you're getting bored, if they're talking stuff that you don't agree with, don't be afraid to just whack it forward or just delete it off. You can always go back to them another time on another show. I'll include this show in that as well. Don't feel some sense of loyalty to people out there that you have to listen to everything that they do, because some things you like, some things you don't. So at the top, he has a video, which is a song called The List by Jesse Wells. I presume it's a song because the guy's holding a guitar. And it's a minute and a half, so that could well be worth a watch and a listen. Quote of the day, let us put our minds together and see what life we can make for our children. And that is by Sitting Bull. And I believe I have a Sitting Bull card in my top trumps pack of Western Gunfighters, which is one that I actually paid, I think. I paid about £20 for it because no one's doing a reproduction of that. So I had to buy an original set. It was 20 or 30. I very rarely play it because I don't want the cards to get damaged. But then we have the book of the day being Murder by Injection, which is one of Eustace Mullin's most favourite books. And you can click on that, and that will presumably take you to a sort of ebook version of that. I know it was one of his most popular. I believe I... Do I still have a copy? Did I have a copy? Some got damaged in a water leak I had, So, and they were all signed as well. And I've still got some of them from Eustace Mullins because I got them from him directly. Okay, so let's finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. So just waiting for beforeitsnews.com to load up here. Well, we do. I'll have one last drink of water. Number 10 went up 13 hours ago, 101 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, urgent emergency, 7-11 2025. I'm exposing the whole damn SH star T storm, exclamation mark. Quite low for Ben Fulford, number 10. He's generally got a couple in there. Maybe he'll pop up again, but he tends to be higher in the top 10. Number 9 went up 3 hours ago, 109 people viewing. 07-11 25, David XRP Lion. Yes, I hacked the XRPL NDAs. It's all in there. B and W, must watch. Whatever they are. NDAs, they're non-disclosure agreements, are they? Don't know what XRPL is. I do detest these acronyms. Number 8 went up 8 hours ago, 122 people viewing. Wano Savin, Ricardo Bosi and Derek Johnson, Big Intel 7-12-2025. Get ready, they're exposing the whole, and then the headline runs out. Number 7 went up 5 hours ago, 144 people viewing. Kim Gogwon, full situation update, disasters, distractions and crumbling. Number 6 went up 5 hours ago, 184 people viewing. Wano Savin, emergency broadcast 7-12-25, Trump just shocked the world. Number 5 went up 13 hours ago, 197 people viewing. Just get rid of this pop-up on beforeitsnews.com asking me to subscribe. Repeat that. Number 5 went up 13 hours ago, 197 people viewing. This is the last video you'll ever need to quit alcohol forever. There you go. I won't be looking at that one. Number 4 went up 9 hours ago, 276 people viewing. Why is the price of silver reaching new multi-year highs, heading towards all-time highs and beyond? Just throw this in, folks. There's obviously been a lot of talk and referring back to Bezos selling this stock and stuff. Are we going to have a financial crash? Are they getting out before they lose it all? I've not bought gold, okay, or silver, but I've heard so many people say that if you do, make sure you get physical delivery of it, because there are people out there that very much, they operate in the same way as a bank. So a bank only has a very small percentage of what it lends out on deposit. So if everyone came in at once for their money, they crashed the bank. Well, there are apparently dealers in gold and silver that do something similar. They will sell one gold or silver coin to 100 people, and they all think that they own it. The only way that you know that you own it is if you have it in your hand and you buy it and you take delivery of it there and then. Then, of course, you've got the problem of where to store it so that it's secure. Sometimes things like that can be difficult to get home insurers to cover. I know in the UK, they only like to cover you up to about £500 worth of cash in your home. So I'm sure many people have a lot more than that in their home when they see things like banks going down. They're in a supermarket. Supermarket things are going down. They can't take electronic payments, and suddenly it's only people with cash that can get their products. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. Just take physical delivery. That's the way I would do it if I was to buy those sorts of things. Number 3 went up 13 hours ago, 290 people viewing. Endgame, the wait is over. Galactic Federation wants you to know. Ashtar Commander. I think that's the Pleiadians again. Number 2 went up 12 hours ago, 348 people viewing. Michael Jayco, huge intel, 07-11-25, wild flooding all over the US and the world. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 500 people viewing. Charlie Ward, huge intel, July the 11th, daily news with Paul Brooker and Breaking Barlow. So there you go. I think we've gone over an hour and 4 minutes. So I'm going to go and record tomorrow's traditional Christian message now, after I type this up and publish it for you. And then I'm pleased to say that Peter is returning on Tuesday, scheduled to return for our show. and hopefully that will continue for the foreseeable future. There's just been, as you know, it's been a bit sporadic recently because he's been travelling and what have you, and I've had things I've been doing as well. But hopefully we'll get a good run in with Peter and me returning every Tuesday for the foreseeable future. So that being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me for today's show. I'm talking to you episode 239, Why Some of Today's Independent Media Leaves Me an Embittered Man. I'll be back with you all on Tuesday, and until then, folks, thank you for listening, have a wonderful weekend, and bye for now.